This is Scott Becker with the combined Becker's Healthcare and Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to visit with Devin O'Reilly from Bain Capital. Devin's going to talk about what he's seeing in healthcare investing today, what works, what's successful, what he's seen through the pandemic, and just a lot more. Devin, can you take a moment, tell us about yourself, tell us about Bain Capital, give us a sense of yourself and Bain Capital.
Well, terrific. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. So I've been doing private equity investing at Bain Capital now for about 16 years, and I lead our healthcare team here in the U.S. for private equity. And, I'm a Boston guy, so originally grew up around here, moved around a bunch, and actually spent about 5 years with Bain Capital overseas, leading our team in London. But have been back here in the U.S. since 2015, and so otherwise I got three kids, and over the course of last year we of course picked this year to have three kids in three different schools. So I kind of describe my life as probably a lot of people. I was mainly an unpaid Uber driver over the last year for my three kids with a little private equity side hustle. So that's kind of my quick background.
Magnificent. Tell us a little bit about Bain Capital in healthcare. What do you look at? What are you excited about? Is it health tech? Is it provider driven? Where's Bain Capital at in healthcare? And just give us a sense of the Bain Capital platform too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So Bain Capital overall, we have about $120 billion in assets under management. So we're global private equity firm. About half of that is in our private equity group, which is what I'm focused on. And our current family of funds is about $20 billion. Within healthcare, it's been a big part of our history at Bain Capital. Maybe some of that's just being originally a Boston-based firm. We're a global firm now, but there's a lot of healthcare, biotech, healthcare IT, a lot of payer and provider businesses in the Boston area. So healthcare has always historically been a big part of our business, and one that we've had a lot of good success, where it's investing and partnering with families like the Frist family in HCA, to being involved with public companies and take privates and take them public again, like companies like IQVIA, which has been a long term investment for us. And so, what I would say overall, though, is that we're really focused on finding inflection points. And so sometimes that is, companies, growing really fast, but with, our help and the right strategy, that it can grow even faster. And sometimes maybe that is a company that, isn't performing as well as it could be. And with our help, it can kind of create an inflection point. But we invest across the whole healthcare value chain as well, which is probably a little different than some other, private equity firms. So we do a lot of biopharma and biotech. We do healthcare IT. We do payer and provider businesses. We like being involved in that whole value chain, because a lot of times, we'll be looking at, for example, we're looking at a pharma company, and we can call up one of our provider companies and say, what do you think about, this therapy? How does it compare to other therapies on the market? What do your doctors think about it? Or we're sitting in the boardroom of one of our healthcare services companies. We understand some of the challenges they may be having, and that leads to an idea for a healthcare IT investment. So we like being part of that, that whole value chain, and doing it on a global basis as well. And so we also collaborate within Bain Capital. We have a venture fund that invests in earlier stage healthcare companies. We have a life sciences fund, which is one of our more recent funds that's had a lot of great success doing growth stage biotech investment, and we'll work with them on really leveraging their capabilities. It's a team largely of MD PhDs, and so we have a lot of clinical expertise we can leverage. We even have a real estate fund that invests across the whole real estate landscape, but they do a lot in healthcare. And so a lot of times we'll have a healthcare facilities company, and they can be, quite helpful. So I'd say it's, working across the globe, looking at,
situations. What size, in your fund, what size companies are you looking at in your fund? And, you know, there's so many things I want to ask you. I mean, you've got this rich heritage there of Bill Bain and Mitt Romney and so forth, between Bain Consulting, Bain Capital. But what size companies are you typically looking at when you're putting sort of Bain Capital's resources to work? What does that mean? And how early stage will Bain Capital, will you guys go? Or does at what point do you draw the line between that and your venture fund?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. We work really collaboratively, you know, across all of our funds. And sometimes we'll, you know, we'll co-invest when the situation is right with some of our other funds. Like, you know, for example, we had a really interesting healthcare payments company we invested in about 2 years ago, a company called Zealous, where it's a scale company and one that's, it was a large deal for our private equity fund. But, you know, because it's a really interesting healthcare, payments technology company, you know, our venture team invested alongside of us. But in general, I would say for private equity, we're typically looking at investing about $500 million of equity all the way up to several billion dollars of equity. And with our, you know, our limited partners that would invest alongside of us, you know, could be, you know, upwards of, you know, $10 billion of equity capital into a you know, single situation. So it's pretty wide range. But, you know, I'd say our sweet spot in private equity is probably, you know, about $500 million to, you know, up to about $2 billion of equity is typically what we're doing. But our life science fund does earlier stage deals. Our venture fund does earlier stage deals. So they'll go all the way down to really kind of the seed stage. And so, you know, we really, you know, can find the right, you know, the right fund within Bain Capital for pretty much any situation in healthcare.
And when you're looking at investments that are $500 million investments to $1 billion investments, where do you seek out those investments? I mean, there's only so many privately held companies that are that big. Is it more, does it end up being more public companies that you're doing things with? Or what's the mix of, and how do you develop the pipeline for deals of that size?
Yeah, we're looking at it from all sources. So we've certainly done take private deals, looking at public companies. We look at obviously a lot of private companies. We also look at making pipe investments into public companies. You know, so for example, you know, we made an investment a couple years ago in a company, Surgery Partners, in the outpatient surgery business, where, you know, it was in the form of a pipe into a public company. But the way that our approach is typically to really, you know, it's really thematic driven. So we go out and we say, you know, here's a handful of themes we're really focused on at the moment. Let's go scour the universe, meet, you know, family-owned businesses owned by other private equity firms, public companies, and basically figure out, you know, what are the key trends we're looking for within that theme. And then, you know, we go out and we meet all those companies. We try to just do it firsthand and not do desktop research, try to go out and meet these companies. You know, over the last year, it was a lot of Zoom meetings, but now we're back on the road meeting in person. And so it's really kind of a mix of all those situations. And of course, you know, we're working with intermediaries, investment bankers that come up with, you know, ideas, but, you know, typically we're kind of, you know, the ones that are approaching, you know, the companies and coming up with those ideas and those first connections.
And when you look at, I mean, certainly people like Eric Evans at Surgery Partners have done a tremendous job over the last couple of years of moving that company in the right direction, in a great company. Talk a little bit about thematic. You mentioned thematic versus necessarily opportunistic, and I'm sure there's some part of it's opportunistic, but at least but largely focused on themes and areas. Where are some of the themes that you're focused on today? What are some of the areas you're most focused on?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned, you know, Surgery Partners. You know, I would say that was a good example of a theme that we're looking at around things that can be done, you know, more efficiently outside the hospital than in the hospital, right? And so outpatient surgery is benefiting from, you know, increased use of technology where, you know, you can do, you know, total knee replacements and even total hip replacements in an outpatient setting now because the technology's gotten so good and it's actually, you know, safer for patients and, you know, lower infection rates and people don't have to stay overnight in the hospital. And so there's a lot of, you know, benefits along those lines. And so, you know, that's just one example, but we're looking at other, you know, services that can be done, you know, more efficiently, better for patients, better for payers, better for doctors outside of acute care settings. So that's one thing, you know, beyond Surgery Partners that we're looking at. Another area that we spent a lot of time on is broadly healthcare payments. You know, the idea of figuring out how to most efficiently have payers pay the provider companies, have provider companies pay their doctors, have, you know, the patients know about the right amount that they should pay for their copay and what's my deductible at any point in the year. These are all tremendously complex issues, and it's only getting more complicated with high deductible health plans and patients having to pay more and more out of their own pocket. And it's more complicated with the evolution of value-based care, which I think is a great thing overall, but it just adds to that complexity. And so, you know, we've had two investments in that space, Waystar and Zealous, broadly in the healthcare payment space. And, you know, we continue to look for more opportunities in that space. And I would say, you know, we're also, you know, very focused on value-based care. You know, I think that this is a term that's been used, you know, over the last, you know, decade or so, but I really think in the last, 2 years and into the next 2 years is a real inflection point, you know, for value-based care and really creating the right incentives between between, you know, payers and providers and having a deeper integration. You know, one of the things we've really learned about, you know, this opportunity comes from an investment we made in Brazil of all places. So we have a great company down in Brazil called GNDI, Grupo Notre Dame Intermedica. It's kind of like a for-profit Kaiser Permanente where they underwrite the health insurance, sell that to the companies who provide it to their employees, and then they actually provide the care as well through a network of hospitals and clinics. And, you know, that's a totally integrated model where I think, you know, ultimately the U.S. will gravitate more and more towards this, you know, truly integrated value-based care model where payers have very high degree of alignment or even ownership in provider companies. And so we're looking for other opportunities along those lines in the U.S. And I'd say maybe the last theme I'll mention that you continue to be very focused on is, broadly in the biopharma space. And in particular, you know, within the universe of big pharma, you know, big pharma companies, even large scale big pharma companies are really starting to focus and say, look, I'm not going to be in every therapeutic area. I'm going to focus my energy on three or maybe five, broad therapeutic areas and be a leader in those areas. And that leads to opportunities to doing, you know, carve out type deals from big pharma. And so, you know, we did a deal a couple of years ago where we partnered with Pfizer to actually buy their entire CNS franchise. And, you know, they retained a significant stake in the business. And we stood up a totally new company called Cerevel, which is a really innovative company, development stage company in the area of CNS, neuro. And that company's had a lot of great success in really, you know, rapidly accelerating development timelines in a, you know, what we think is an underserved area of, you know, broadly in CNS. So those are a few areas that we're, you know, focused on right now, just to name a few.
I mean, fascinating, quite frankly. And when you talk about sort of like, I'm familiar with Waystar and have had a chance to be on a panel with their CEO. And how hard is it to find great CEOs to run these businesses, or by the time you're investing in them, is it largely there's great leadership in place at the size investments you're making? What is that, you know, thematic investing and then leadership? How hard is it to find great leaders or to invest in great leaders?
You know, look, we've been really fortunate to have a lot of great partners that you're referencing, Matt Hawkins at Waystar. You mentioned Eric Evans at Surgery Partners. We have a terrific team we're working with at in our home care company called Aviana, Rod Winley and Tony Strange, who are, you know, true, you know, pioneers and leaders in the broader home care space, having run Gentiva in their past. So we've had the good fortune of working with tremendous group of great leaders. And so, you know, look, I would say we have a great network of people that want to work with us if they've worked with us in the past, which is always great. And often and many times we will come into a situation and find great entrepreneurs and great leaders in the company. And that's how we get to know new folks as well. And so we definitely spend a lot of time, though, you know, developing our network and developing relationships with CEOs that we'd like to work with. And sometimes it's the case that, you know, you meet someone and you hit it off, and for whatever reason, the deal, you know, doesn't come together at that point in time. But, you know, 5 years later, you end up working together. And so we do spend a lot of time and energy. I mean, having great leadership with our companies is essential. And, you know, while we like to think of ourselves as really helpful partners, we're not in the business of running the companies ourselves. We have great management teams that do that. And so it is a huge effort within our firm. And it's something we've really, you know, focused on. We have one of our partners named Susan Levine, whose sole job is to really focus on developing, you know, our talent pipeline and talent among our companies. So it's something we spend a ton of time on.
And I guess the key question, if you had to hire somebody, do you prefer to hire from Princeton or University of Pennsylvania?
Both great. You know, they're both great. I'll say, you know, equally great.
Fantastic. And lastly, Devin, what are you most focused on or excited about this year? I mean, you're looking at sort of a multiple of options. Everything's expensive. Bain's got this incredible war chest always and just an incredible pedigree. What are you most excited about this year?
Yeah, I'd say probably if I were to say this, you know, I'll probably hedge a little because I got a lot of things, but there's probably two things I'd say we're highly focused on this year. One is the theme around value-based care, and that plays into, you know, working within our companies, you know, so, you know, our companies like U.S. Renal Care, Surgery Partners are spending a lot of time, you know, developing really, I think, innovative programs around value-based care. And, you know, I'd say also, you know, for us thinking about new platform investments, to companies that, you know, provider companies that have, you know, either the current capabilities or the ability to develop a really, you know, powerful and compelling value-based care solutions. That's one thing. You know, I would say, you know, we continue to spend a lot of time broadly in healthcare IT. You know, one of the statistics I'm always sort of amazed at is that, you know, healthcare is about 20% roughly of GDP, but only comprises about 4% of technology spend. And so when you think about that, there's still, I think, tremendous underinvestment in technology by healthcare companies, and that leads to a lot of opportunity. So that's broadly a space that we continue to spend a lot of time on.
And that's a fascinating discussion. A different discussion is how do the different technology companies actually break through given the explosion of offerings being pushed towards CIOs and leaders of health systems and hospitals and the whole healthcare ecosystem. It's trying to get the attention to break through, and those that do can hit it very, very big. That underspend stat is a fascinating stat. Devin, yeah. I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today on the Becker Private Equity Podcast. We'll also release this on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. What a pleasure to visit with you, and what a fascinating vantage point you have. Thank you for taking the time with us today.
Thank you. Enjoyed it. Great to be with you. Thanks for your time.